The latest set of economic statistics from India show that in the year to March, the economy was growing at 8.5%, and this was regarded in India as something of a disappointment. As an emerging power in the world's largest democracy, India, we are repeatedly told, is a success story. But not according to the Booker Prize-winning novelist Arundhati Roy. She claims tens of thousands of the country's poorest people have been killed and hundreds of thousands tortured by corrupt governments in the pay of big corporations. My colleague Jeremy Paxman spoke to her.
This enormous change, the emergence on the world stage of a power the like of which has never been seen before, a voice that's never been heard before, aren't you proud of that?
It's a false voice. It's a lie.
Why?
And I'm not proud of it at all, because in the early 90s, when the economy began to open and the growth rate began to gallop, since then, if you look at what it has done to the mass of people in India, we have, I think, the world's largest number of millionaires or billionaires, but we have 800 million people living on less than 20 rupees, which is about 30 cents a day. You have millions of displaced people. You have more poor people in India than the poorest countries in Africa.
The claim is that poverty has been halved in the last 30 years.
It's untrue. You know, it's untrue. And you go and have a look at what's going on there. There's an insurrection in the country. Why
it isn't
in parts
of the country?
In vast parts of the country, which is out of control of the government now. They are deploying, you know, paramilitary forces in central India. The government just can't even go into big territories. And now that's spilling outside the forests as well, because this growth rate is built on taking land from the poor.
This collection of essays of yours, Broken Republic, features particularly the campaign being fought in part of India where you say the land is going to be appropriated if it isn't resisted for the extraction of bauxite, which is, you know, necessary in the production of aluminium. Now, are you suggesting that all natural resources just be left as they are in the hands of indigenous people?
Well, it's not that simple, you know, but if you look at the map of India today, the forests, the indigenous people, the minerals, the Maoists, they're all sort of stacked one on top of the other, you know. And there is this huge program. It's not just of extracting minerals, but it's of building dams and infrastructure. It's displacing millions of people for this and it's not even as though that bauxite, for example, which is worth some $4 trillion in the state of Orissa or iron ore, it's not even as though those minerals are going to be used for the good of the people of India. They are being sold to corporations who pay a tiny royalty to the government of India. And the minerals are taken out and traded.
But, I mean, you end this book. We have to ask our rulers, can you leave the water in the rivers, the trees in the forest, can you leave the bauxite in the mountain? If they say they cannot, then perhaps they should stop preaching morality to the victims of their wars.
See, because I think this is a profound question that is, it doesn't just concern India. It concerns the entire question of what we think of as civilization. And the reason that I ask it is that everybody knows that the planet is in a crisis right now. So you have in India a community of close to 100 million Adivasi or indigenous people. They are not, I'm not suggesting that, you know, everybody goes back to living in with loincloths and bows and arrows. However, we have to redefine the meaning of modernity, to redefine the meaning of happiness. For example, you take the bauxite. It's a very good example. Bauxite in the mountain makes the mountain a porous reservoir, which holds water, which irrigates the plains. You take the bauxite out of the mountain for what? To make aluminium for what? You know, the people who live there don't want that aluminium. So the question really is, are we ever going to be able to look at something without thinking of it as a resource to feed the kind of capitalism that is leading the planet to a crisis. The thing is that in India, there are vast parts of India where there is a different imagination, where there is the possibility of a different kind of modernity. And that is what the government seeks to annihilate. Now they are actually planning to deploy the army to fight the poorest people in this country. And we call it a democracy.
Well, that's because there's been an insurgency going on there for 50 years.
But that insurgency consists of Adivasi people, indigenous people who have been marginalized. And if you look at the Indian constitution, you ask me, if you ask me on the show, what should the government do? I would say the government should honor its own constitution.